Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Father John Wargle on a snowy day. Welcome back, Father John.
Yes. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, my goodness. When I read through this letter, I just thought, and the Scripture, I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is so complex. And it's way more complex than my thinking beforehand has always taken me through. So let's talk about it. So this is Adam and Eve and this idea of original solitude, that he had this solitude and it was meaningful. He didn't just do it. It was meaningful. And then this original union with Eve. Oh, my goodness. It's very deep.
I mean, the text just shoots us here with a lot of images, and the images are really quite simple.
Yeah, right.
But so so deceptively simple, because they say so much.
Like, okay, if you say so, except that I'm telling you, image after image comes driving toward me, and I just sort of jump out of the way most of the time, I think, just to avoid getting hit. But what I really need to do is sit with them.
Right, and each one is so difficult. And Danny, you can never really get down to any of these images completely, because the mystery of life is so deep.
Yes. And really beyond us, beyond thought and word.
Beyond thought. It's something like we experience. Again, it's that East-West mentality. We desperately want explanation in a Western world, but this text helps us to experience the beauty and the mystery of life. Like, right off the bat, it's not good that a man should be alone. Okay, well, he wasn't alone in the sense that he had his creator there.
Sure.
Right? And we think that the creator, God, would be enough for him. Yeah. But God is not enough for us, Danny. Yeah,
clearly, just because of the whole context and the way that the words tell us that he was alone. But he did have God.
And it just shows you how magnanimous God is, in that he could have created him just to focus on himself, because God is everything, right? Mm-hmm. What is more than God?
Right.
Right?
Nothing.
Nothing's more than God, and yet he creates man in a way where even God himself is not enough.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, think about that. Wow, you know. And so then, you know, he has all these animals, and animals are great. We talked about animals a whole lot, haven't we, up to this point?
Yep, sure.
You got a pet dog, Bailey, right?
Bailey,
as much as he loves you, that's not enough, right?
Yeah. It's a she, but okay.
Yeah, right. So God has created Adam, obviously, for a mate, okay? And Eve is that.
Yeah.
And what Adam looked like before the fall, I mean, that begs you to ask the question. He certainly wasn't male in the sense that we think of male, but the text doesn't suggest that he was androgynous either.
Yeah.
With, you know, both male and female.
Right.
Parts or however.
And that's something when I read that, I thought, what? I never thought about that. But you're right. I mean, there's no reason why he would have to be looking like me, looking like a male person. And again, it's just this wideness of the ideas in this text.
Right. So we have no clue of what Adam looked like before this operation, right?
Yeah.
And so then God puts a deep sleep upon him. I mean, why is that?
Right.
I mean,
another
we understand that very well in the medical world, because you don't ever want to have an operation, would you?
Yeah. Nope. Had a few and don't like it if I was awake.
Without being under, right? Yep. But in the old days, they just, you know, they didn't think in these terms. Of course, that's a motif itself.
Yeah.
Right? A deep sleep is almost like a death.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
And it's used throughout Scripture. I mean, it continues.
Throughout Scripture. Yeah. I mean, Jesus on the cross was in a deep sleep, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like Adam, when God was going to create Eve out of him. So the deep sleep, God creates the church out of the side of Jesus. Okay, so you see these motifs and how powerful they are, right?
Yeah.
And so original solitude. Before we get back to the creation of Eve, we need to think a little bit more about original solitude, okay? First of all, without having experienced this original solitude, Adam would never have understood the beauty and the wonder of original union.
Yeah, of being with someone that was like him. Yeah,
right, right. And on the negative side is that it's not good. The solitude is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to experience that not goodness because this provides a context for his choices, moral choices.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That even though he did not know what death was, death would probably, and as you see it throughout Scripture, it does. It really is a solitude. It's a diminished experience, diminishment of life.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a cessation of existence like we talked about before.
Yep.
But it is a solitude. I mean, C.S. Lewis writes about that in, I think, The Great Divorce.
Okay, if you say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, right, yeah. The funny thing is that hell is like this vast suburb that everybody keeps on building out and out further and further from each other.
Oh, that's funny. That's an interesting image.
They can't stand each other, right? It wasn't, was it Sartre or Camus? I can't remember. In No Exit or something like that, said, what is hell? Hell is other people.
Yeah.
Talk about original solitude.
Oh my
okay.
Gosh.
So that's a profound thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hell is solitude. And so he had to experience that in a way, okay? Because when he experienced union with his wife, he really experienced union with God too. That's a very powerful thing we got to think about here too. Becoming one flesh with your wife really is a union also with God because we love our wife through our bodies.
Yes.
Our wife loves us through our bodies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we love God through each other.
Sure.
Right.
And in the letter, I thought it was really, again, as it happens to me a lot of times when I read through these letters and in preparation for us working on this podcast, the idea of the marital act and it becoming like a beatific vision.
It is.
That really hit me. I thought, that's true. I mean, where I have experienced this idea of imagining God or understanding God or knowledge of God, this idea of beatific vision, seeing God in something. But how much do I do that or have I done that in that marital act? It's really...
Well, if we do things according to the boundaries that are set. Okay, so Danny, what we're talking about here is a union between a man and a woman, okay? Therefore, it can't be put with a man or a woman with woman, okay? These are boundaries that are given at creation. And when sex is experienced within the boundaries that God gives us, mm-hmm. one man and one woman, although as we see in Scripture that less than ideal, there is polygamy going on,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But from this text, the ideal is one man and one woman. And whenever sex happens between a man and a woman, it's like a creative act.
Yeah.
It is a creative relational act. It is an act that takes you into an ecstasy that's beyond your mind. And it's like the first time type thing. It's like going to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It's a return to the Garden of Eden. Okay. Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the ancienthopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
It is an act that takes you into an ecstasy that's beyond your mind. And it's like the first time type thing. It's like going to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It's a return to the Garden of Eden. Okay. Yeah. And so that is the power of the one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it because you're going together with your wife, and your wife is going together with you to a place where we know that there really is a heaven. Right?
Well, that was what
it's, it's like you're experiencing immortality.
Yeah. And that's the kind of new understanding that I came to when I was reading through the, you know, the letter and the and thinking about this image, was that we're going to a place that's like the high, a high point, a very high point, the maybe the high point.
It comes back to the word holy.
Yeah, sure.
It
yes.
is holy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever sex is experienced apart from the boundaries, again, you know, boundaries are so important. You know, the physical boundaries we talked about in creation, but the boundaries, the moral boundaries, when it, when you break the moral boundaries, sex no longer becomes holy.
Uh-huh.
It becomes common. And it's amazing that something so holy can become so boring.
Mm.
Not that I would know that, because I've, you know, I've just been married and it's been a very holy thing, right?
Yeah, sure.
But as I observe our culture and hear and read and think about things, people are bored with sex because this beauty is not happening.
Right.
Because it's all a self-centered thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a self-gifting yourself to the other. It's not like you're placing your life in the hands of another.
Yeah.
It's not like you're being really innocent, okay, in giving of yourself. And it's very hard to make ourselves vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. When we make ourselves vulnerable to one another, then there's a deep trust that's built. And that's part of that union as well. But, you know, when people are just kind of doing it as a sport, it becomes common. And in fact, it's just downright evil.
Right. I think that the self-gifting part was the thing that really touched me, was that this idea of self-gifting is the ultimate importance.
Yes.
And so self-gifting moves it into the holy.
Right. Yeah. It is. And self-gifting is another way of saying love.
Mm, sure.
You know, how can you explain love if, you know, if it's just an emotion, it like, you know, well, you make me feel good, right?
Yeah.
If you make me feel good, you're convenient. Hey, that's great, you know, but as long as you're no longer convenient or you don't make me feel good, I'm out of here.
Right.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, you know, what do you do? I mean, you're left, you're just left destitute.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You're just left destitute. You're left used.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But everything is the opposite here in all this imagery that that's before us. Because when Adam woke from his sleep, he's just filled with absolute wonder.
Sure.
At the beauty.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the rib thing. That's always been really weird for me growing up. You know, okay, so God put Adam in sleep, you know, and he...
took one of his ribs.
He took some ribs. So, I mean, how in the world do you fashion something so beautiful out of a piece of bone? I mean, I'm not sure if our imaginations really go there. And here, I think a literal understanding doesn't really help us out too much.
No. Yeah,
I think JP2 takes us back to the very ancient language of Sumer. Okay, the cuneiform, where there's a sign. The sign is a sign of a rib, you know, and it's a sign of life. The goddess Ninti, that sort of thing. So, I think what we really need to look at this as, you know, God putting Adam into a deep sleep. We don't need to think about, again, anesthesia. We don't have to think about cutting someone open. Although it does say he put it back. But all of this to say is he took it out of his side.
Yes.
And if the word ninti and the sign would have been known to the ancients as life, he took life out of him, something that is absolutely critical and essential to his nature, took it out of him, and then he created.
Yeah, fashioned.
Fashioned Eve out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's delighting in is you know, we've talked about, I think, did we talk about Eve being, and yeah, we've done so much, Danny, but I think of being the epitome of creation, the last thing created. That's, and the order of things and the structure of what we have in the scriptures here, you know, in Genesis 1, 2, we see that she's the crown of creation. She is.
Yes, right.
There's nothing more beautiful than Eve, and we've talked about that as well.
Yeah.
So he looks at her and is going, whoa, wow.
Something good is here.
Something good is here.
Yeah.
But something essential to who he is.
Yeah, sure.
Because something is taken out of him. Now we know what Adam would look like. Okay.
Right.
To some degree, because we lost a glory. Okay. So in a way we don't. Okay. Because they were both naked and they were not ashamed. And we talked about nakedness, I think, in our previous thing.
Sure.
Yep. But yeah. So that's what we have here. We have something so beautiful with all this imagery. And I'm wondering, can we think of anything else around here? I mean, there's so much we can talk about, but for this podcast here.
Well, just I did want to say also that all of that, those couple of sentences where you talked about the sign and Ninty, all those things, people might want to go to the post at ancienthopes.org because you explain it a little bit more there, and then it would give them something to be able to look up, which is what I did, you know, in order to understand. So that's a little bit complicated. But let's see, is there anything else?
So Danny, St. John Paul II, he called the marriage, which we have here, the primordial sacrament. And primordial means the original sacrament.
Right.
Now, technically, you know, we really don't have sacraments till we get to the church. Okay. But there is a sacrament that really builds deeply on our humanity from the very beginning. It's the union between a man and a woman.
Sure.
A husband and a wife.
Right.
And it's called primordial because it is a deep type of what God had originally in mind, which was the union between the creator and creation, between God and man, between God ultimately and the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we think of marriage in the Catholic world, it is not just an agreement. Okay.
Yes. Right.
It's not an agreement. It is a powerful union, becoming one flesh. I mean, when God became incarnate in Christ, you know, the eternal Logos became incarnate, you know, it became flesh. We're talking about one flesh. Jesus got his flesh from the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, that's an amazing mystery, right? But as I said before, at the crucifixion, especially comes out in the Gospel of John, is that we had God in the flesh on the cross, like Adam, and his wife is born out of his side, which is the church. And we, therefore, are in union with God, an ecstatic union that is pictured and actually experienced in a union between a man and a wife.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, when you think about the ecstasy that God created in the union of one flesh, and the ecstasy that he has created for us ultimately in heaven.
Yeah.
The beatific vision.
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally, an ecstasy is really getting out of yourself. Okay.
Yes. And, oh, yeah.
And we were made for that. It's the beauty of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we wrap this up, Danny, all this stuff is so profound and it's mystery, but it's a joy, isn't it? Isn't it a joy to dig into this?
Oh, sure. Yep. My experience, even just going through this little bit, I really have learned so much. And I really have learned again that there are so many of these ideas and motifs that are so much bigger than us and so much bigger than human words, but we have to kind of jam them into human words and use images to do that. And so I think that—
But it helps us to know what we are experiencing. Again, okay, yes. Our minds can't wrap around it, but love can.
Sure, yeah.
Love is big, okay?
Love is big.
Love is very big, but it comes with a price. Yeah. It really does, because it's a self-gifting. And it's, until we learn to self-gift ourselves, we will never, ever know the heart of God.
Good. Gosh, that's a great way to end. Good. Well, so thanks so much for coming in.
God bless.
Okay. We'll see y'all next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.